Hola, all my chippies in podcast land. Welcome to Black News Chick. I am your host, Rhett Thompson. It is 8:10 a.m. Monday, July 16th. And I am in the middle of robbing Peter to pay Paul. It does not pay to be broke, I swear. It's too much running around, too much juggling accounts, too much. It's already going to be a busy day as is. I have to pick up my daughter from camp because she has an appointment today, and that's going to be a long drive that I'm not looking forward to, and have to get all these errands taken care of. I should have gone to the gym. I did not go. Like, last night, I was like, you know what? I'm not going. I'm way too tired. And I am regretting it now. Part of it is because I did want to stick to a 4 o'clock club. It was kind of like, again, one of those situations like, am I too tired to, like, am I going to rob myself of energy that I could be, that I'm going to need to do all this running around on Monday? And I decided that it would be better for me to have that extra bit of sleep. And now, like, even now, like, walking around, like, I feel very stiff. Like, my legs and my back. Now, this might be because I was walking around at the con yesterday, and there's this very, the Florida Supercon, which was at the Broward County Convention Center. The floor is hard concrete in the exhibition area. I mean, the hallways are carpeted, but I didn't stay in the hallways for the bulk of the time. I do feel very stiff. Very, very stiff. And I know that if I would have gone to the gym, I would have been able to stretch that out. I would have been in a different kind of stiffness. So there's that. And I'm probably, like, the way things are going, I'm not going to be able to hit the gym until tomorrow. So I'm definitely going to do that. Part of it, I think, is just poor planning. Because I think that if coming home yesterday, I was just so tired and I did not eat well yesterday at all, because we had gone to the Dollar Tree before going to the con. I was trying to avoid having to buy a $9 burger at the con. Like, if you're already strapped for cash, you do not want to spend your money on subpar food. You know, that, I mean, it would have been $9 for the burger alone. If you want extra fries, it's an extra $3. And then you want the drink, it's $2. So it's like $15. And luckily, the kid said that she had had the burger the day before, and it totally was not up to expectations. Like, even for her, learning about money and the value of money, she was like, it was like, meh, it wasn't worth it. So we had gone to the Dollar Tree beforehand to get little snacks and stuff. And I figured that would be fine, because I knew that we had our traditional Sunday breakfast, grits, bacon, eggs. I thought that would be enough, and clearly it was not, because by the time we got to the con, it was past brunch time. So what, that was about 2 o'clock-ish, 2:30-ish, somewhere in there. So it's kind of like, was that breakfast enough to suffice for breakfast and lunch? And to be honest, no. And then I had all this, like, candy snacks. Like, I mean, I had some, like, mixed nuts, and I had some beef jerky, and I had some, like, you know, licorice. That is not, that is not what's going to be filling. So, I don't know. I think because I didn't have really, like, nutrients, like, that really threw off my energy levels, too. So by the time I got home, and I was like, I got to pack my gym bag. Like, I should have had that packed beforehand. Just like I was fussing at my daughter to make sure you have your bag and your clothes laid out for camp. I should have done that for myself. So now I know better. What, interesting note, though, positive note. Yesterday, on the way back home, I had to do, like, a quick errand, had to run into Walmart, and while I was waiting for my daughter she had to go to the bathroom. Like, it's right by the pharmacy area, and they have one of those machines that check your blood pressure. And I noticed it also checks your weight. So I decided to hop on just to see. It's like a digitized scale. You have to sit on it and be very still, whatever. It's supposedly, you know, you plug in your age and your vitals, you know, age, gender, height. And then it's supposed to measure your BMI. My BMI was poor. It did say that I was overweight, but it did say that I was 201 and a half pounds, which I know I tell people that I'm 200 pounds and people are like, I can't believe you're 200 pounds. You don't look 200 pounds. I'm like, yes, I am 200 pounds. But I, all this time, I thought that I was still the same weight that I was when I was working at my old day job. Like, my old, this is how bad it was at my old day job. I, you know, I'm not going to park over here. At my old day job, I was so sedentary. I hadn't been going to the gym regularly. I had to be in my car so much, you know, doing that 41 mile each way commute. And then I would be so bored at work that I would, you know, get up to walk around. The only place to walk around at my job was to the break room or to the front area. And they always had like a candy dish. They always kept it stocked with like chocolates and stuff like that. And, you know, there was nothing to walk to around the at my job. So I was always eating, always eating. Like, I eat out of boredom. Like, I had nothing to do. Like, yes, I was making my calls and doing my tasks and things like that, but you have to get up and do something, you know, because I was pretty much in this empty office because it was so dead at times. Because when you're working, you learn that if you're working in an office environment in the Florida Keys, if it's a beautiful day, no one's coming in. Like, all those people are either on their fishing boats or they're on vacation. Like, they're outside. It's an outside type of culture. Your best days is when it's rainy and bleak and torrential storms, because that's when people are like, oh, I have nothing to do. I guess I'll go in to deal with this piece of business I've been putting off. So anyway, long story short, I gained a lot of weight at my old job. And I could tell because the way my clothes were fitting. And I finally jumped on the scale at Publix, because they have these gigantic scales that you can check your weight for free. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm 215 pounds. This was like how many, close to a year ago. But that is the number that I had been using when I was getting on the elliptical or the treadmill or whatnot, just because that was the last time I had weighed myself. And I assumed that I was still in that range. My gym does not have scales. That's the thing with, unless there's a Planet Fitness that I don't know about, my Planet Fitness that I go to, they do not have a scale, because the whole thing was like, it's no judgment and everybody should work out and, you know, feel good about themselves. I would like to know my weight, not as an obsession, but just so I am putting in, making sure that I'm giving myself a challenging workout. Cause, now it makes sense, because if I had been putting in that I was 215 pounds, but I'm really 201, then when I'm plugging in my numbers to set the machine thinks I'm bigger or more out of weight than, or out of shape than I really am. And so I was thinking, when I was doing like the treadmill, I was like, why do I feel like I'm going so slow? Like, I feel like I should be going faster than this. So I'd always have to adjust, you know, which gives it more of a hassle when you're on the machine. So I'm just glad. I was like, oh, so that's good. Between eating better, working out, and being stressed out, I've lost weight. Whew. It's 4:11 p.m. 90 degrees. Feels like more than 90 degrees. Oh my goodness. It looks like a big thundercloud is on the horizon. So that's coming. That is a thing. My goodness. On my way to pick up the kid from the bus stop. This has been quite a day. A very, very stressful day. I hate owing people. I hate being late on stuff. I hate borrowing from people. Like, I hate it. I hate it. But unfortunately, sometimes it has to happen. But I don't have to like it. And I'm telling you, like, that to me is like more than getting a new car or a new pair of shoes. That to me is like the driving force to me. Yeah, yes, I want to express myself and, you know, be artistic and make people have a good time and all of that. But I absolutely abhor hating. I abhor owing anyone anything. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And then, for me, you know, especially with everything that's going on and the stress of, like, money and stuff, like, I just feel like I start going into this, like, downward spiral, you know? Like, you start questioning your abilities. Like, your self-esteem goes right down into the toilet. Just like a big old whirly, like a real old, like a big old whirlpool. It starts going down, 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 down. Start questioning your life choices. All of that good stuff. I mean, but what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and cry about it? You can't cry. I mean, you can. And that'll make you feel good for a little bit, but then what? You still have the problem. But, here's a little, not a little, but like, here's some optimism. Early this afternoon, I got one of those emails that said, hey, we want to schedule to meet for a job. And I was like, what? That was fast, slow. Like, this morning, like, I am an impatient person. So, yes. If I put something in, even if it's like on a Friday, Saturday, I want to be called back ASAP. I don't know. I just have that type of expectation. But yes, I did get a call back. So I do feel, well, I guess I should say a call, period. It's not even a call back. It's just a call in. Like, hey, like, you know, are you available to meet? And I was like, yes, I'm available to meet tomorrow. Because I am that desperate. Now, this is the thing. You don't want to, it's like, interviewing for a job, it totally is like trying to drum up like a relationship. You don't want to have that air of desperation about you. And I will temper that. I know, I'm just going to be confident. And I'm just going to remember, like, that feeling of angst and anxiety and annoyance from this morning, I'm going to channel all of that tomorrow, but in a positive way. Like, yes, I'm going to, well, first of all, I mean, I still want to feel them out too, because I'm not trying to walk into any old crazy situation. But I know that if it's what I think it's going to be like, I'm getting that job. I'm going to be confident. I am going to own it. I am going to let them know that they're going to be missing out on the good thing if they pass on this. That's pretty much how that's going to work. You need me as much as I need you. So that's cool. But speaking of, and I've been chewing gum all this time. My bad. I didn't mean to sound like I was smacking my mouth as I was recording. But okay, so I've had this need to have some income coming in, and I got the most. I don't want to say it's the most bizarre call. But let me set the scene. All right. So it's Sunday morning. I woke up early because just naturally been waking up early because of the 4 o'clock club. But just, you know, anxiety will wake you up. Like, worry and stress, that will wake you up, you know. And that's what was going on with me. I started checking emails, started looking at, like, you know, little day jobs. What can I apply to? Blah, blah, blah. You know, then dude eventually woke up. You know, we had decided to let the kids sleep a little bit, you know, because we were going to have to head out to the con, you know, but she was tuckered out from the night before, you know, let her sleep a little bit. We started talking about day jobs, and the dude was trying to give me a pep talk and saying, well, you know, you could try to do this, this, and this, or that, that, and that, and this, that, and third, and blah, 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 you know. And that's good, because that's what you want. You want to have somebody who's going to be supportive of what you're trying to do. Like, I feel guilty because I feel that, you know, he has been extremely supportive, but there's only so much weight he can carry. Like, he hasn't complained about anything, but he pretty much is like, look, this is what's our conversations over the last several months have been like, look, this is what I can do. This is what's happening here. This is like, you know, it's kind of like, it's really tough when you are already, things are already tight when you have two incomes and then one of those goes away and it's like not even a full income is coming back in. Like, I didn't really consult him that much at all about when I was leaving my day job. I mean, I did, but, you know, his thing was like he wanted me to be happy, but he also wanted me to, you know, he had confidence because I had confidence, but, you know, he did not try to, like, overly criticize me or anything like that when I said, hey, I think I could definitely, like, this reselling thing, I think this will work for me, and he saw that I was getting good results and all of that. I mean, he was very supportive of that, but then when those, I think there's only so much he can do to, like, help me in terms of, like, the learning curve. You know, like, he can't teach me how to do my job type of thing, you know. But at the same time, like, you know, when I was getting into that rhythm and those family emergencies happened, I mean, it, like, it was just tough. It was just tough, 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 tough. So, anywho, he's always been supportive, but there's only so much of the weight of the world and the family and the finances that he can shoulder. Like, it's impossible. Like, he cannot. You know, like, it just can't happen. So I need to do my part. You know, I don't even need to be told that I need to be doing my part. He has not told me, oh, you have to do your part. No, I know that I have to do my part because, you know, just because. The way we had things divided up was basically he took care of majority of things anyway. But then the things I was taking care of were pretty important too. But now it's like, oh, he inherited all of it. So yeah, I need to do my part. That's pretty much what that is. But anywho, so he was talking to me about this, 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 like, oh, maybe you could try this, or maybe you could try that, blah, blah, you know. So I very much was in the mindset of day job, searching for day job, blah, blah, blah. So then, out of the blue, I get, and also too, dude was like, you are extraordinarily, not impatient, but basically, like, what do you expect? Like, I was like, ugh, I put in these applications on Saturday. I don't understand. Like, of course, I know reasonably who's working on Saturday going through resumes that are submitted online. He was like, what, do you expect the night shift to come in and then, like, give you a call? Like, what, you know, and I was like, oh, yeah. You know, I was like, yeah, look, I know I'm trying to be patient, but, you know, it's kind of tough when you're, like, in a jam. Like, you want everything to happen, like, yesterday, which is another feeling I don't like. I don't like being at the mercy of someone else that may or may not be able to give me money. I do not like it at all. I do not. And that's probably why I don't work for a nonprofit, because I do not want to go through all this to apply for a grant and then hope that you give me money. I do not like that sensation or the thought of it. So, anywho. So anyway, we're talking, and then out of the blue, I get a, I see a number pop up on my phone, and it is a local number, like a 305 local area code, and I'm like, huh, that's weird. And so I pick it up, and then the person, it was a dude, and like, he was like, hello, may I speak to Rhett? And, you know, of course I said, hello, this is she. Now the thing is, my number is everywhere. Like, I don't make a secret of it. I'm like, Mike Jones, my number is 917-586-7916. See, now you have it. My number has been publicized, like, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, whatever, because as a performer, I need to be available. And I have been available. Like, my email address, blackandeastchick@gmail.com. I don't make a secret of that, because I have been approached. I have been had inquiries sent to me, because, you know, asking me to perform or asking me for this, you know, be on your podcast, whatever. Like, I have had that because my information is out there. And I also, too, I feel like in these modern times, it is really stupid to try to crank call someone. What, you going to crank call me from your cell phone that's going to pop up on my phone that now I have your number? Like, this is dumb. You know what I mean? And, like, even if, like, okay, you get a Google number. All right, well, eventually you got an IP address somewhere. You're going to be found. So that's not, you know, everyone has a digital trail. You know, you could be working for anonymous. I get that. But eventually you're going to slip up. Everybody has some type of footprint somewhere. So this number pops up and this guy calls. This is the guy calling. He's asking me for specifically. And I'm in the mindset that I'm in day job mindset. You know, I'm trying to figure out who this person is, first of all. Like, because this has happened too, where I have switched phones over the last several years. I've switched phones like maybe 4 or 5 times. And my phone book, my contact list doesn't populate correctly all the time, because I'll like forget which, like, did I save it to the cloud? Do I save it to, like, which of the 9 email addresses that I have, which one did it get saved to? You know, because, and I've had situations where I'll say hello and the person will be like, hi, Rhett, and then I'll be like, who is this person? And I'll try to have that conversation with that person until I can figure out and recognize, and then I'll say, may I ask who this is? And I have had on more than one occasion, it'll be a comic who'll be like, oh, it's me. Oh, you don't know who this is? You don't know who this is? Oh, Brett Thompson. She's all big and bad now. Should I contact your secretary? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I've been razzed many times for that, because, and I won't recognize, because I will not, like, what, you don't recognize me? You gave me your business card last week, Brett Thompson, and you told me to call you. So I'm like, then I feel like a lot of it foolish. So I always try to, like, feel a person out. Like, when they say, oh, this is, I think he says, and his name was David or Daniel. I was like, oh, okay. And then he proceeded to say, like, well, I was calling because I wanted to see if you needed assistance with your business. And I was like, ugh. First, I thought, for some reason, I thought it was like a recruiter at first. I don't know why a recruiter would be calling me at 11 o'clock on a Sunday, but I don't know, that's what I was thinking for some reason, that, yeah, maybe this is somebody asking who wants to, like, interview me. And then the second thing was like, maybe this is somebody asking me to perform. But then when you said my business, I was like, is this a sales call? Like, that's the first thing in my mind, because I have gotten DMs from people, because, okay, I have 2 Instagram accounts. One is at the skirt. That's pretty much the one that I have for my personal stuff, and also it's very, like, performance heavy, like my comedy related stuff. Then I have another Instagram that is at Yo Fat Girl. That's the one that's more my reselling stuff. So I just have them separate right now, just because it makes it easier for me. So when he said, I wanted to know if you needed assistance with your business, and I was like, like, comedy? Like, what? And then I was like, reselling? Like, what? Like, I had got that DM, like, someone,
had created some type of software that was supposed to help you do your shares and likes on the Poshmark app, which I thought was kind of goofy. Like, why would I automate that? It just seemed a little disingenuous and not something I would be willing to pay for. So I never took them up on it and I never responded back. So here's this guy calling me, asking me if I need assistance with my business. I was like, what business? He was like, oh, well, I found you on Instagram. Like, I was like, how did you get my number? And he said, oh, on Instagram. I was like, oh, okay. So he was like, and I was like, well, what type of business assistant are you talking about? And he said, oh, because, you know, I like to donate to businesses. Like, I was like, he said, I wanted to know if you needed a donation to your business. I was like what? Like clothes? Like, you know, I resell and stuff. So usually I source those items. Like, that means I go buy them. Like, I will buy the items. Like, I'm thinking, what is he trying to donate? Like, now, I have heard of people, they're moving, and so they'll just straight out contact a reseller and say, hey, I don't want this to go to a landfill, so I'll just donate everything to you. And a lot of times, it's hit or miss, because it's like, why aren't you just taking this stuff to the Goodwill yourself? But I have had people say, hey, you know, I have this stuff in my closet, maybe I could give it to you and you could make some bucks. You know, I have had that happen. And again, it's a lot of misses, but sometimes there's some hits in there. So I was like, so I'm still trying to fill this person out of what is he talking about? And he was like, yeah, I just want to know if you needed, like, you know, what did you need? I was like, in the back of my mind, I was like, what I need is $1,000. That's what I need. But I said, what do you mean? He was like, well, you know, sometimes what I'll do is, like, I'll donate, like, you know, like $1,000. And I was like, what? And he was like, I'll donate $1,000 to, like, you know, like a peewee football team or something like that. Like, I do stuff like that. I was like, oh. And he was like, oh, like, I went to, like, you're in the area, right? I was like, you know, like in Miami. I was like, yeah, like you live like, and he mentioned the area that I'm specifically at, that I do a lot of, that I tag my location. I was like, yes, I am. He was like, oh, well, I wanted to see if you wanted to, if we could meet tonight. And I was like, oh, this is where like my radar started going up. Like, now, just a side note, when as a female, you learn pretty quickly if you learn that your radar, your antenna, your internal antenna gets pretty refined as you age. I would like to think that mine has to a certain extent. I'm not as sharp as the next person. I'm very open and very optimistic. But usually when I start feeling my antenna rise, my internal antenna, I know that either, okay, is this person really trying to help me? Is this person trying to sell me something? Is this person trying to rap to me? Like, and if so, if he's trying to rap to me, is it like, oh, I would like to get to know you, or am I trying to fuck you? Like, it's one of those. And I have had that in the comedy arena. I have yet to have that happen in a reselling situation. However, I do know, living down here in South Florida, I have encountered a different type of beast of a person down here. Like, back in Ohio, even in Ohio, being a little bit on the countryfied end, dudes can be more or less, like, they're going to cut to the chase eventually. You know, usually they'll say, hey, you know, I find you really attractive, wanted to know if you, you know... Sometimes they'll say, oh, do you have a man? Or like, you know, would you like to meet for drinks? You know, I would like to take you out sometime. You know, New York dudes, even more direct. Florida dudes, it's like this weird roundabout type of, like, I don't understand the language that they're talking about. Like, you know, it will come out of left field. And I just felt like this was a really weird approach to, like, find me on Instagram, ask me about my reselling business, ask me what kind of needs I have for the business. I'm thinking it's a weird sales call, but he's asking me to meet. I still kept my mind open, because maybe it is. You know, like, I asked, you know, are you a reseller? Oh, I've resold stuff myself, like, you know, shows, clothes, shoes, jewelry. So I'm still trying to give dude benefit of doubt. Like, is he trying to donate stuff to me? Like, what does he want? Because, and I asked him that. You know, like, well, what exactly are you looking for. Like, what are your intentions? Because, like, I don't want you to have wrong expectations. He said, no, you know, I just want to get to know more about your business and blah, blah, blah. So dude was sitting right next to me, and he had asked to listen in on the call. So I had turned it up so he could kind of hear. And he automatically was doing that hand signal, like the cutting of the neck, like, hang up on this dude. But my thing is, in my experience as a performer and as a female performer, it's almost like you have to be almost too nice to people. In a situation where any other female would hang up or tell somebody to go F off or something like that, you still have to maintain your composure and still be polite and still be, because the thing is, then what happens is that person has the ability to go off and run off and say, oh, well, you know, she was being so mean to me, or she was being two-faced, or she was being a bitch to me, or blah, 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 all this other crap. And then me not being active on social media as I used to be. Like, I don't know what people are saying, you know, and I really shouldn't care. But the thing is, I just try to keep things even keel on the up and up as much as possible. So going back to this dude, I said, well, what is your, and he kept saying, like, he makes donations. I said, I tell you what, I don't do my reselling on my own. This is a little white lie. I don't do my reselling on my own. You know, I, if I'm going to meet with you, I need you to meet up with my partner too. Well, I didn't tell him what kind of partner. So, my partner too, so we could discuss. And this is where the dude, like, quickly ran. It was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'll think about it. And then he hung up. So I was like, oh, I get. And dude was like, what the fuck? I was like, I don't know. And I told him my explanation of that. I just thought that was the weirdest rap ever. And I was like, and dude was like, you know, you need to, you know, take your number down. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, I don't feel that I can take my number down right now. I've had the same cell phone number since before I started doing stand-up in New York. That was my second. This phone number that I have is the second cell phone number I've ever had. The first phone number I had was a 347 number. The only reason I had that number, I had a cell phone when cell phones were not as on and popping. And I only got that because dude was, like, annoyed that he could not reach me when he wanted to reach me. So he basically got the cell phone for me. And I was like, I don't even know why I'm having the cell phone. he's like, yeah, because I'm tired of, like, calling and getting your voicemail. I was like, I don't know. And then I kind of, like, let that go. But then when I start, like, working and, like, doing longer hours, like, it made more sense to. And I think at that time, dude, he had, like, a different cell phone plan, and it made sense to put me on. That's when I got a 917. And now that I have a 917, 917 area code is, like, the original outer boroughs area code for New York City. So if you have 917, that's basically Brooklyn, Queens. It used to be Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, the Bronx, because Manhattan was 212. 212 was Manhattan, and then 917. It was 212 in Manhattan, 718 for the outer boroughs. But if you had a cell phone in the outer boroughs, it was 917. So that's why I keep my 917. Just because I know it's one of those things, like, once you let it go, you're not getting it back. It's just like a 305 down here in Miami. Everybody talks about Pitbull being Mr. 305 because that's the area code. That's the traditional area code of Miami. But once you lose that 305 number, if you're lucky, you'll get a 305 back, but more than likely, you're going to get a 786 phone number, which is, like, one of those, like, more recent numbers. So you get my drift. It's more, like, for sentimental reasons. And also, too, I don't feel like I should be changing my number just because some random dude who, like, has whack game. Or, I shouldn't say whack. He was trying to be creative. He was creative. The only thing that, I guess, in the back of my mind, that might be cause concern is that he knew exactly what area I was taught that I am, which is, and I'm going to say it now, it's in Naranja, Florida. And my thing is, it's like a suburb. It's not even a suburb. It's like a hood neighborhood in the southern part of Miami-Dade County. Like, if you Google Naranja, and yes, it's spelled like Naranja, N-A-R-A-N-J-A, like you would think it would be naranja, because that's how it is supposed to be pronounced in Spanish. And in if you do like a Google Maps, and it will say you're on your way to Naranja, and it's like no, just like regionally, there's pronunciations that are very specific for that area. Like down here, they do not say Naranja. If I say, oh, my apartment is in Naranja, people will be like, oh, you're not from here, are you? They know, because down here they say Naranja, exactly like that, Naranja. So Naranja is still relatively like countrified hood, you know? So my thing is like, is probably somebody, there's an excellent chance it's somebody who's kind of like either, he sounded like he was like Latin, had like a Latin accent. Dude thought that he sounded more like a younger black dude. Either way, it was definitely a dude, definitely somebody who was like familiar with this area. Who, I don't know, maybe that's the thing. Maybe I'm just that out of touch. Like, I guess that's the thing nowadays. Like, I see, like, when people try to hook up with people that they see on social media, because I could see, like, the phone number, because I decided, let me just, like, when I played around with my phone, and I saw that exact same number had popped up last month in June. So apparently, that person tried to contact me back in June and just never left a voicemail message or didn't try to call back or whatever. Maybe they tried to call from another number. I just thought it was very curious and odd. I just didn't notice it because I get a lot of incoming calls. Like, it could be somebody from the kids' camp or one of her friend's parents or one of my in-laws or another comic. Like, if I see a 305 pop up, that doesn't necessarily mean anything to me, you know. And if you don't leave a voicemail for me or send a text, there's an excellent chance I'm not going to see it. I really am not going to see it. If I'm really busy and there's like a bunch of calls that pop up, like if you just call and you call and hang up, I don't necessarily see that. So, I don't know, maybe this person called in June and then didn't leave a voicemail, I'm assuming, and gave up, I don't know. But, it was just very interesting how they wrapped it up. So, in a way, I'm kind of disappointed, like, what, you don't have a new tip for me in my reselling business? I'm kind of disappointed, like, why wouldn't you have a tip for my reselling business? You're not selling me software, you're actually trying, and I guess, in a way, it's kind of creative, you're kind of creatively, trying to rap to me, like, you know, a lot of times, you know, maybe it's like, should I be flattered by that? Because a lot of times, I'm sure the chicks who do the Instagram modeling, they probably get hit up all the time, like, yo ma, you really beautiful, you know, because I see people's comments, like, I follow certain Instagram, like, aspiring Instagram models, just because I find that their stories are very inspiring, and then I'll see, you know, they'll put this long caption about, like, how they've revamped their eating habits and the way they look at themselves and self-esteem and how they were bullied and blah, 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 all this, this, and this. Very inspirational quotes. And then some dude will be like, you're beautiful, ma. I'm like, does he really know? Did he really read all of that? And that's why he's saying that? Or he's just saying that? Or he'll be like, damn, I love them thighs. You know, after she said all this thing about being bullied, he said, damn, I love them thighs. So, you know, I guess I shouldn't be, how insulted should I be? You know, at least he was like, yeah, you know, I want to see if I could, you know, see if you need any help with your business. I was like, what? It sounds like you're selling me software. What are you saying? But what the part that was like a bit I had to absorb and kind of is insulting after the fact is the fact that he would say, yeah, you know, like I've given $1,000 to like little league teams, and I wanted to say, are you offering me $1,000? Actually, I think I did say that. I think I said, what, $1,000? For my reselling business? I'm very flattered, but this just came out of nowhere. Like, I don't understand. That's exactly what I said. I don't understand. Like, why are you doing this? Like, what are you investing? That's why he said, are you investing? Is this an investment? No, I just want to give it to you and want nothing in return. So if you're trying to give it, if you're trying to give me $1,000 with nothing in return, then why are you, why did you hang up when I said that dude would be with me? What, maybe I should have positioned it different. Be like, my bodyguard will be attending this with me. Should I have said it that way? That probably would have been more, made more sense, I guess. So I don't know. I guess but also too, what leaves me kind of kerflummoxed, as you could hear, the fact that someone would dangle $1,000 like it's nothing. Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to show up to this meeting and say, what's up with $1,000? And then it turns into the, yeah, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, he's going to give me $1,000. Like, for what? Like, am I supposed to, like, entertain this gentleman for $1,000? Like, are we going to meet at Denny's for $1,000? Am I supposed to sleep with somebody for $1,000? Like, I just find it very interesting. $1,000 is a very interesting number. And I hate that that I even have to be on a conversation with somebody like this. You know, the thing is, this goes back to, you know, day jobs and being independent and that sort of thing. It's like, I know comics that they do comedy full time. And I have witnessed them have to take certain gigs because they have to tolerate, they need the money, you know, like they need that $40 because they need that gas money. So they will do your crappy little bar show and the awful sound system and that you told them to, that the call time is 7 and the show will start at 8, but really no one, the sound guy isn't even going to show up until 10 and you're waiting for a crowd to build up and you might go up to perform at 1:30 in the morning. Like, I get that, okay? You're going to earn that $40. But my thing as a female, as a performer, like, why do I have to be the person that's super nice to somebody because I'm, quote, afraid that somebody might possibly damage my reputation in Naranja? I don't know. I just think it's all ridiculous. And I just feel like this is the type of fodder that I'm going to be using for my doll story. It's 9:03 p.m. I'm trying not to be super loud because the kid has taken an impromptu nap a couple hours ago in our bed, and it is time for her to move on to her bed, but she's sleeping so deeply I don't want to disturb her too much. She'll get up soon enough. She had such an exciting long weekend, and then I don't know, she didn't sleep well last night, and now she's just tired. I can't believe how big she's gotten. She's like huge, but she's been around for a while. But it's funny, when I was pregnant with her, they didn't have that 3D technology. That's where they can do the ultrasound and you can see what the baby pretty much is going to look like. They had that, but it was very specialized. And I thought it was a little freaky at the time. They didn't quite have the resolution down pat. So my doctor had the traditional, you know, ultrasound. You just see the silhouette. I remember getting the pictures when you actually see it starting to look like a baby. And I was like, oh, I wonder what her silhouette's going to look like. You know, she just seemed like she had a very rounded forehead and, you know, just very, like, her lips were very out there. And I was like, I wonder what she's going to look like. And I swear to you, when she's sleeping, like, in certain positions, she looks exactly like that ultrasound silhouette. Like, that exact profile. I mean, she's just many, many times bigger now. But, I mean, she definitely, you know, she is that baby. So, anyway, I'm chilling here. I'm really tired. I have to say, I cannot wait to get back into the gym tomorrow. I just feel like so very tense, like physically tense. Like I just wish that I had gone today, but you know, no need to be wishing, you know, just do, you know, because today would have been, I think I would have been doing cardio. See, this is the great thing about keeping track of my workouts, like in my little date book planner. It seems like at first I was very self-conscious about it because I was like, oh, look, I look like a note taker, but it saves me so much time to figure out what weight I should be using, because I just don't retain that kind of information. Like, I don't remember, like, did I do 35 or did I do 40 or did I go back to 30? Like, I don't want to be dealing with that, you know? And it definitely keeps me on track. Like, so let's say last week, I think it was Friday, because I had skipped a day, I had assumed that the next day was supposed to be like, I think it was like Friday. Yeah, I assumed I was supposed to be doing cardio, but really I was doing arms. So I wasn't sure, like, should I do cardio or am I working on my arms? But no, arms was what was scheduled. That was supposed to be the next thing I was supposed to do. So it felt good to be like, I stuck with it. I stuck with the plan and stuff. And I think like this rotation that I got going on, I'm going to keep up with that probably for the week or two, and then I'm going to mix it up some more. Like, the thing is, with Planet Fitness, they have many more cardio machines than they have, like, weight machines. Like, it's very much like that no judgments, very much beginner gym, and I have no problem with that. Like, you get what you pay for. Like, my membership is $10.70 a month. So I'm more than fine with just figuring out how I'm going to make this work. So right now I'm just doing a slightly lower weights with higher reps, and I am going to just like expand out into more machines, and eventually I'll start doing the free weights, because I do miss using free weights. But you know, form is very much very important. Also, too, when I get there, still very early on, but you know, the muscle heads are, even though it's supposed to be no judgments, no lunks, that's what they call it, the guys that the stereotypes are like, you know, the wannabe bodybuilders, they call that slam the machines around, slam the weights around and make a lot of grunting sounds. At Planet Fitness, it's almost like taboo to do that type of thing, so they call them lunks. But, you know, those guys tend to dominate the free weights. I know I could work in if I wanted to. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm yawning. But not quite there yet. And I'm okay with that. I'm not quite there yet. There's so much I could be doing, like, that would strengthen my body. I don't even really need the weights, per se. Like, you know, there's tons of different, like yoga-type poses and, you know, all that kind of stuff that I could be doing. So I'm not too worried about that. But yeah, I can't wait to go back to the gym. Can't wait for that. Can't wait for my little interview tomorrow. And I am determined that I'm just going to do my best. I couldn't help but think, like, growing up, when I was growing up, CBS would play Gone with the Wind, the movie, starring, what's her face? Oh God, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Clark Gable and, what's her face? I keep thinking of Olivia de Havilland because she's like the last woman standing from that movie. But, so anyway, once a year they would play Gone with the Wind, and it was such a production at my house. Like, that was one of my mom's, like, she very much enjoyed those movies because it reminded her of like her youth when they would play those type of like very like long form. Like the, like my mom grew up in a time where you would go to the movies and you could stay there all Saturday afternoon, that sort of thing. So Gone with the Wind is one of those big epic old school Hollywood movies, you know, with lots of costumes, lots of sets, lots of extras. It's a very romanticized story of the Civil War. For those who are not familiar, pretty much it follows the life of Scarlett O'Hara, who starts off as this spoiled debutante,
who lives on the plantation. All the boys love her. And the night of, I guess there was this big party at her, at the plantation. And that's when war was declared. The North and the South. And of course, she's in the South. And then basically she goes from being like the spoiled brat to a very, what a lot of people would say, a very ruthless, selfish woman. And then she basically marries for money and that sort of thing. And part of the motivation, like, there's a scene where basically the Yankees have occupied the plantation she grew up in. Her mother has died. Her father has like dementia, and he ends up dying, and you know, all the slaves have ran off, and it's all the men are gone, and she's trying to be the leader amongst her sisters and the rest of the folks on the plantation, trying to like keep it all together for them. And there's no food because all the Yankees have taken it, or the crops just won't grow because there's no slaves to tend to it. And she, out of desperation, starvation, she goes out into the garden, and there's nothing but like radishes. And she eats one. She's so hungry. She eats a raw radish, still has dirt on it and everything. She eats it and like starts like throwing it back up. And then she picks up a piece of dirt and she says, "As God is my witness, I will never be hungry again." I totally feel you, Scarlett. I swear I had that, I've had that, that thought in my head intensely the last several days. Like, I don't ever want to be in this position again. Like, I don't know what I have to do to like scrap my way out of this. I feel like, put it like this way. I feel like, on one hand, this is one of those situations where I'm going to look back a couple months from now or a couple years from now, and I'm going to be like, oh, well, that was nothing. But right now, I'm in the middle of it, and this doesn't feel like nothing. Like, I just feel that I am scratching and surviving, and I don't like the idea of just merely surviving. Like, I don't need to be rolling around in material wealth, but at the same time, I feel like I want to live my life on my terms. Like, I want to perform. I want to express myself. I want to do my comedy. I want to do my writing. I want to do all these things, but I want to do it on my terms. And I don't want to have it so where, oh, I'm only going to be doing that on the margins, and I have to have this day job that shows everyone that I'm doing something with the degrees that I have because I have something to prove, because I don't. Like, I want to live according to the way that is comfortable for me and my family. I don't need to be balling. I don't need to, I don't need to go on a cruise every 3 months. I don't need to wear a fur coat. Like, I don't need any of that stuff. But I want to be able to say, like, look, I do my art. I create my art. I live off my art. But I also do this other thing where I make money and I enjoy it. And it all works hand in hand. That's what I want to do. Like, I'm excited about my interview tomorrow because I feel like it's a way for me to kind of like arbitrage, like, the in-between, to kind of like bridge that gap. But I do feel that it's going to be coming together. It's going to be coming together soon. I don't know if it's like soon, like in the terms of how a mosquito or a gnat would think is soon. Maybe it's more like an elephant. How soon is soon for an elephant? You know, as in, like, if you look at time and space with a different frame of reference, your idea of soon may be different from some other animals who doesn't have a long lifespan, their idea of soon. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, long story short, I want to be able to, like, I would like to live financially along the lines that I want to live. Like, I don't need to be uber wealthy, but I want to be able to pay bills, but also keep a low overhead. Nothing too crazy, but I want to be able to do the things that are important to me and my family. And I want to be able to create, and if there's a way that I can make money off of my creations, then that would be even better. But I know right now that sounds like I'm talking in circles and roundabout, but it's going to happen. I'm going to make that happen. Like, and I'm going to do that with a certain level of ruthlessness. That doesn't mean I'm going to marry up, because that's what she basically did. And like, if you watch the movie, I have not read the book, but if you watch the movie, her first husband, was a guy who was kind of like a bit of a doofus, but he actually wanted to marry Scarlett's sister. And Scarlett O'Hara did not care about that because he was pretty corny, until she found out that he had a wood mill, a lumber mill, and it was doing well. When she found that out, then she started batting her eyes at him. And of course, she's more attractive than her sister, and she's the greater prize. And he's fallen head over heels for her. She doesn't love him, but she definitely married him for that position, much to the annoyance and outrage of her sisters. Yeah, so, and then of course he ends up dying and she doesn't really care. And then she ends up with the love of her life, Captain Butler, who's Rhett Butler, my namesake, Rhett Butler, played by Clark Gable. And they've always had a flirty type of relationship, but when she found out that he had money, and oh, that was it. And it's all about survival. And I guess for a woman of in that day, you know, back in what, the 1860s, 1870s, you know, you kind of, there was very limited resources of what you could do, you know, how you could climb your way on up. And I guess marriage was one of those things. So she did what she had to do. She said she would never be hungry again. And I think that's one of the things. And for me to not be caught up with crazy nonsense, I feel like I have a limited amount of time on this earth. So I will do what I need to do to never be hungry again.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.